This story was told to me by my grandfather. This story has stuck with me for many years, even though my grandfather passed away many, many years ago now. He didn't like talking about it, and often tried to change the subject when this was brought up. However, it's always stuck with me. My granddad was a pilot in World War II. He's from England. However, after the war, he moved to Norway, which is where a lot of my family live now. When he was growing up, pre-war, he lived in a very small community. He said that everyone helped everybody, and it was one of those towns where everyone knew each other. Because times were hard, sometimes he used to go into the local fields and take cabbages and potatoes and bring them back for his mum to cook. This wasn't a wealthy area, and no one had much money. He said sometimes he'd have to go a little bit further out because all the other kids in the area were doing the same thing. This one time, he described walking a little bit further out. Whilst he was looking for potatoes and whatever he could find, he stumbled into a field that he hadn't seen before. When he got there, he was walking around just looking at the ground, not really looking where he was going. He looked up and probably 30 feet away, he saw this man walking with a weird gait towards him. He said the man was dressed in all black, with a big black trench coat on, almost like an undertaker's coat. He said the man had a hat on too, and he couldn't make out any facial features. However, he said when he had a closer look at the man's face, he couldn't make out any features, and it looked as though the man didn't even have a face. The man was walking towards him with intent, in a malicious kind of way, so my grandfather turned around and ran away. He said the man didn't appear to have a face or facial features, but potentially could have been wounded in World War I, so he wasn't too sure if this was just a wound. Anyway, many months later, my grandfather and his friends decided that they were going to go fishing. So after school, they all went home and told their parents where they were going. My grandfather went home and told his mum that he was going to the lake and that he'd be back later on. He didn't give a specific time. He went out, and he knew he was going to be there a little bit earlier than his friends, so he decided just to set up and get everything ready. As he was walking towards the lake, he saw a man standing over the direction where he was headed, right next to their fishing spot. As he started getting closer, the man's body stayed still, but his head slowly turned towards him, looking directly at my grandfather. It was evident that this was the same man from before, and the impending sense of doom took over my grandfather. The man still didn't seem to have any features, but he was just far enough away that he couldn't fully make out if this was right or not. However, he said that he could make out an intense and eerie grin on the man's face. The man didn't appear to move, however, my grandfather didn't take any chances. He ran back all the way home and told his mum what happened. She didn't believe him and thought that it was just his mind playing tricks on him when she said he'd seen the same man before, but was also a little bit wary and maybe trying to make him feel better. She told him not to go out that day. The next day at school, my grandfather asked his friends if they'd seen the weird man, to which they replied they hadn't. My grandfather was confused as to why his friends hadn't seen this man standing in the exact spot they were going to. However, he quickly forgot about this and got on with his life. A few years later, my grandfather decided that he was going to go back out to the fields and try and find some more potatoes. He was searching the fields and didn't see a thing. Clearly someone else had got there before him, or it just wasn't the season for them. Regardless, he was disappointed and started heading home. It was dark at this point, and all of a sudden, it started raining. Typical, he thought to himself, as he walked down the muddy path. All of a sudden, there was a huge flash of lightning, and very quickly, only for a split second, it illuminated a figure maybe 15 feet away from him again. My grandfather stopped and decided that he wasn't going to go any further until he decided that this was a safe situation to be in. Again, another flash of lightning, maybe 30 seconds later, and the silhouette was gone. Phew, my granddad thought to himself. Thank God there was no one there. He said it was particularly eerie this night, and he just felt on edge. So he started walking again in the direction, and once again a huge clap of thunder, and it illuminated the same silhouette again, but this time even closer. He said he could briefly make out the hat the man was wearing, and also a big jacket, one that went all the way down to the man's feet. All of a sudden, the memories from the man he'd seen years ago came flooding back. Was it the same man, he thought to himself. He didn't know. My grandfather started walking backwards, taking steps back towards the field, rather than the direction to head home. He couldn't make out anything. He said it was pitch black at this point. He had been in the field for longer than he realized, and he should have headed home soon, and his mum would wonder where he was. He decided that he was going to hide behind this barn that was on the other side of the field, so he slowly but surely made his way there. He got there and he hid behind the outside wall. He didn't know where this man was, and he couldn't really hear anything because of the sound of the rain clapping down on the ground. All of a sudden, there was another huge clap of thunder, and once again, he saw the silhouette of the man, but this time standing outside the barn. He could briefly see the silhouette of the man, but he didn't think the man could see him as he was outside the barn. He stayed silent for what felt like hours, but he said it was probably only a few minutes. He was peering between two planks of wood inside the barn. He was on the outside, and he said he had rain dripping down his face. He was trying to be quiet. He said there was a tractor behind him and nothing in the barn on the inside apart from what he thought was farming materials. He stayed there and stayed there, and nothing happened. He thought he must have lost the man. Once again, thunder. And he said this is the most terrifying thing that he ever saw in his life. He saw the man's face on the other side of the planks of wood he was standing on, peering at him through the cracks between the wood. He said his eyes were so wide and almost black, staring straight back at him, with a menacing grin on his face. He turned around and fled as fast as he possibly could. He ran behind the barn, slipping and tripping as he ran. He got back on the path and ran all the way home. He didn't look back, he didn't care to. He just needed to get away from this man. He got in and told his mum about it, and she told him to never go back to those fields again. He said that man haunted his dreams for the rest of his life. Sometimes he would wake up in the middle of the night, 20-30 years later, and he'd see that man's face. He said he never felt easy in his own house, and he always felt like there was always someone watching him. He understands that this is probably just his imagination, but he doesn't understand why, even 30-40 years later, he still sees that man's face just as vivid as he did in that barn on that night. Nothing ever happened in that village, and as far as he's aware, there was no one who lived even remotely close to that field. He doesn't know why that man was there. He doesn't know why he saw him on so many occasions, and why he always seemed to know where he was going. He doesn't even know if this was a man. Was it some kind of ghost? Was it some sort of figment of his imagination? Who was it, and why me? Why did they need to torment me? Before he died, I remember my grandfather opening up about more of these stories, and he actually confessed to seeing this man one more time in his life. However, he said it was much later, and the man hadn't changed. He said he didn't want to go into the story, but he was going to tell me one day. He said that he saw the man whilst living in Norway, and that when he was ready to tell me, he would. Unfortunately, my grandfather died of cancer, and I never got to hear that story. Maybe it's written down somewhere, I don't know. He always kept a diary, and he left them to me, so maybe I can have a read through those and find out more about who this man was. This happened probably only a few years back. Me and my friend John have been friends for life. We grew up together and we lived in the same town. In fact, we lived down the same road. John and I have always been into fitness, and quite often we go for long walks together. This is because we can't make it to the same gym at the same time, and he works different hours to me. But at least 2 or 3 times a week, we try and go on these long cardio walks and just talk. It's a nice way to keep up with each other and also try and get a little bit of our passion for fitness in during the day. We also enjoy fishing, and when we were young, we'd go down to the local river. There's a few lakes and rivers near where we live, but the river was our favorite. Our parents always told us when we were young never to go to the river, so quite often we'd have to try and sneak out and not be seen when we was going to the river. We would jump over the wall and down onto the embankment. Now, this isn't the safest because, of course, we could only do this when the tide was out. And if you know anything about rivers, the tide can go in and out very, very quickly. If you're not on top of it, it can be very dangerous. Our parents would always tell us horror stories of these kids that jumped over and drowned. But of course, we nodded and just pretended to listen. Sometimes we'd go fishing down there, even if just for 30 or 40 minutes. Sometimes you could catch little things like crabs and prawns, but mostly we just liked walking across the river embankment when the tide was out. We were always very careful to be near to a ladder that helps you climb out. But on some stretches of this river, there's only a ladder every 100 meters or so. So if you get caught in between, then you're in trouble. Anyway, we're in our early 20s now, and we hadn't been down to the river for a long time, as we were into different things, but like we say, we still went on these long walks. One day we was on one of these walks, and John said to me, "Hey, how about we go down to the river for old time's sake?" I thought it was a good idea. We hadn't been there for years. It would be quite nostalgic to go back to that spot that we always used to hang out at school. So that's what we did. The next day, we were gonna go for another walk, and I checked the tide, and it was set to be out for at least an hour that day. So we figured out what time was best to go there so we could have the longest period of time walking along the embankment, and we headed out. We hung around that wall for a good 20 minutes before jumping over. This is because when we were young, we didn't give it any thoughts, but nowadays it seemed kind of dangerous. But obviously not as flexible as we were, and my hamstrings aren't great. So when you jump over this wall, there's a small ledge that you need to balance on, and the drop down is probably 10-15 feet, so you really don't want to fall on this. It was also covered in moss, so extremely slippery. But if you shuffle along maybe 5 meters, you get to the ladder that you can climb down. The tide was well out, so we thought we'd be fine. It was getting pretty dark, and we didn't want anyone to see us jumping over, so we waited until it was clear, and we did it. Despite being terrified of falling, we managed it, and we got down to the embankment. We were having a nice, relaxing walk and just walking along when all of a sudden I realized how dark it had got, and I couldn't see where we'd just jumped down from. I didn't say anything, which is my first mistake, but we just kept talking and walking. All of a sudden, I realized I don't know how much time has passed. I turned to John and said, "Hey, John, how long have we been down here?" "I don't know." "Oh, damn, maybe we should head back." I agreed, and we started walking back. Now, as you walk down this river, and whilst the tide is out, it feels as though you're walking in a straight line, but you're not. It actually curls around and bends and loops a little bit. So I didn't know exactly where we were. So as we were coming up to a corner, there was a dim bit of light coming from the moon, and my heart sank. Straight ahead of us, we could see that there was water crashing against one of the walls that we needed to walk round. The tide had come in so quickly that we hadn't realized that it was coming in behind us. We had to get back to where we knew we could get out. We didn't need to say anything to each other, we just started running. We ran as fast as we could, but as we were winding round, we realized that the tide was coming in fast. Now, the currents here are extremely strong, and people have drowned in this river, so we were really scared. Also, the fact that no one knew we were here, and it was extremely dark now. As we got up to the corner, the water was knee high now, and we were trying as fast as we could to get round the corner. We realised that we were probably too far out to get back to our initial spot, so we had to devise a plan. Even though it was only knee to waist height, we felt as though we couldn't move. The current was quite strong and it kept pulling us, and we couldn't really maintain our balance well, and we kept slipping. I decided that we were in trouble here and we needed to call for help. I had a torch on me and I took it out of my pocket and shined it against the wall. I was trying to find anywhere that we could climb up. Maybe there was somewhere that we could just get out quickly here, but no luck. I was flashing my light on and off so people knew we were here, but no one seemed to be around. There was a ledge, probably 7 foot high, that I thought maybe one of us could get up and call for help. I sacrificed myself to stay down so John could get up. So what we did was we got John on my shoulders. This was incredibly difficult in this much water and when it was this dark. I got him on my shoulders where he could grab onto the edge of the ledge and pull himself up. It was incredibly slippery, and it wasn't a straight ledge that was just leveled off. It was kind of on an incline, and he was slipping the entire time, clinging on with his fingers. But he managed to pull himself up and get over the wall. He told me he'd be back, and he was going to go and get some help. So I stood there, not knowing what to do. Do I try and find a ladder to get out of here? The water was rising, and it was stomach height now, and I was being pulled all around. The water was still rising, and it was just above my waist now. I was terrified. I stayed silent and I couldn't hear anyone around. All I could hear was the waves around me crashing. This is where it ends, I thought to myself. My stupidity has got me in this situation. Now I'm going to die here alone. And when I thought all hope was lost, I saw a speedboat coming down the river with its light on. I flashed my torch as, thankfully, I managed to keep it above the water and they came over to me. They dragged me onto the boat and got me ashore. Myself or John brought our phones with us. When John got out, he found a man who called the police for us and they sent out a rescue speedboat. Thankfully they were there in time as the water was above my belly button now and if I was in there much longer, I would definitely have drowned. The police told me I was probably only 15 minutes from drowning. If I'd stayed out there much longer, I would have been pulled in by the current and my chance of survival would have been very low. Thank God they got there in time, and if I'd been out there any longer, I don't think I would have made it. I felt really stupid for this, for putting myself and John in such danger. My message to anyone out there is always let someone know where you're going, and don't jump down onto river embankments. There's a reason that your parents tell you not to. Stay safe, people. This happened when I was 19 years old. I'm 29 now, so it was a fair time ago. I live in a rural town. Nothing really happens. All the buildings here are old-fashioned, or the vast majority anyway, and quite a few of them are abandoned since the recession. As I'm 19 years old, since we left school, a lot of my friends have moved out of town. So we still keep in contact over Snapchat, text and WhatsApp or whatever, but we hadn't seen each other in well over a year. There was this one house that was abandoned that me and my friends were always fascinated with when in school. We used to walk past it and talk about what it'd be like to go in there, but we never did it. It was at the back of this unkempt field. It looked like a mansion, but it was all rotting away. There were boarded up windows and graffiti all over the walls, and some of the ceiling looked like it collapsed. It wasn't the best sight, and I'm pretty sure it was fairly unsafe. This building still stands to this day, and I have no idea why nothing's been done with it, or who owns the land. In school, we used to hear horror stories about things that happened there, but of course, none of them were true. It was just kids making up stories. I've never been one to go and investigate something this unsafe. I was always scared to let my mum down. She always told me that I was never to go there, and even when people from school tried to convince us to go in there, we never did. Some of the guys from school went there and said about hearing things and came back with all these horror and ghost stories, but we never really believed any of them. Anyway, one day, my friend Mark hit us up on our WhatsApp group. He'd moved way out of town and we hadn't seen him in ages. He said he was coming back into town. So, now that he was coming back, he said, how about we finally investigate that building we were too scared to investigate as kids? We're adults now, we'll be fine. I wasn't too sure. I'm used to my usual routine of just playing video games, going to work, coming home, having something to eat, going back to bed. I don't really like going out and testing myself. Actually, not going out and testing myself and putting myself in situations I fear is one of the things that I don't like about myself. I've always been a person who avoided anything I was scared of. Recently, actually, that's been a bit of a revelation for me. I'm trying to put myself out there more. And when I saw this message, initially, I thought, no, I can't do that. That's a potentially dangerous situation I'm not going to put myself in. But then when I thought about it, this is something that's troubled me since childhood. Fear of not going and doing things. Even not going into this building was something that I was teased for in school by some people. Screw it, I thought. I'm going to do it. So I got back to Mark in the group chat and told him I'm up for it. He said he'd be in town next week, so he was going to be staying at his grandma's. There was four of us in this group chat, so we just waited for the others to get back. In typical fashion, it took everyone an absolute age to get back to us. But in the end, everyone was up for it. A couple of us were a little bit more skeptical than others because why would we want to go into this building that's potentially dangerous? Who's in there? Are the stairs even safe to go up? Are we going to fall through the ceiling? We don't know, but we decided we were going to do it one evening. So, Friday evening came round. This is October time, by the way, so it's quite cold. It was very dark, and to be honest, we were all in the Halloween mood. So, earlier that day, my friends came round my house. We chilled out, we had some pizza and popcorn, and we just watched some Halloween movies. We were really getting in the spirit when I think about it. We watched the Halloween movies, and we even watched one of the Saw movies. That kind of set the tone for going to that building for the night. It's only about a 15-minute drive anyway, and it was about 10 p.m. at night, so it was pretty dark. There were so many entries into this house, it was crazy. Most of the boarded up windows had been ripped down, but there were still some old rusty jagged nails sticking out, so you had to be careful. I brought a torch anyway, so we were trying to watch our every step. We made it in the house through a window, and there we were, standing in this eerie house that almost seemed to be lost in time. It was a throwback to the early 1900s. Not much had really changed since at least, I'd have to say, the 1930s. This house was old. It smelt of damp, and there was mess everywhere. It was obvious that there had been some people here before. There was graffiti on the walls and empty cans on the floor. But it was dead silent. So my friends had heard a story about this old woman that used to live in the house. So they were convinced they were going to find her this night. I'm not into ghosts, and I really don't believe in them. But my friends do, so I decided that I would go on a little ghost hunt with them. Anyway, we start looking around the house for about 5 minutes, going through into what seemingly was a kitchen once. In some ways, it made me sad. This was someone's family home once, and now it's just gone. Eventually, we decide to break up into pairs. We were going to go upstairs, and my two friends were going to stay on the ground floor. So, me and my friend, Mark, went upstairs together. As we were stepping up these old wooden steps, you could hear the creaking of the floorboards and it almost felt like the house was moving. I told Mark that we had to be completely careful with every step, otherwise we could fall through and seriously hurt ourselves. At one point I said, you know, this is stupid, we should head back, to which Mark said he hadn't come all the way back here for nothing. I sighed and rolled my eyes and just kept going. We got upstairs and we were walking around. To be honest, I was a bit spooked out and also a little bit bored. You know that feeling where nothing's happening but you're on edge? I felt a little bit like that, almost as though I was being watched. We were walking around for probably 10 minutes, just looking at the old pictures on the walls, looking at some of the books on the floor. It was just a weird, surreal experience. That's when we heard screaming from our friends downstairs, who said they saw something. We quickly bolted it downstairs, and we saw both of them, trembling in fear, pressed against the wall. "What's wrong?" I said. Neither of them said anything, and my one friend, Mitchell, put his hand over his mouth, as if telling me to shush and be quiet. "There's someone in there," they said. That's when my heart sank. I didn't want to be in here anymore. "Who was it? What did you see?" They said they couldn't tell, but they saw a figure quickly run across one of the door frames. "We need to get out of here." But despite there being so many openings to the house, the nearest one was on the other side of this room. We just stood there against the wall, not knowing what to do, listening for any noise. We didn't hear anything. That's when, all of a sudden, we saw someone at the top of the staircase, looking around as if they was looking for somebody. Now, my heart sank at this point, and I started shaking with fear. All of my friends saw it too, so no one needed to say anything. Thankfully, it was so dark in there, so you couldn't really see very well. There was just a slight illumination from the moonlight that we could see him up there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have seen him at all. It looked as though this person was just creeping around. Now, this 100% was not the ghost they were talking about. I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't even believe they would think this is a ghost. This is a fully grown man, or what seemed like a man, creeping around, peering around doors. Now, I'm assuming they heard us upstairs, and when they heard the scream, they thought that it was us upstairs. There must be another way up there we don't know about, but obviously we ran down the steps. Now, why was someone creeping around specifically looking for someone in the house? Why, if they didn't have bad intentions, did they not call out that they were here, so that we could all just nose in the house together? Why were they on their own? I don't know. I whispered to them that we need to quickly get out that window. They all agreed, and on three, we all darted towards the window. Two of my friends jumped out, so it was just me and one other guy that were waiting to leave. That's when I heard running on the top of the staircase. We were spotted. My other friend jumped out the window, and I could hear all my friends telling me to jump out too. But something was stopping me. I was frozen in fear. Fight or flight. But I wasn't doing either. I completely froze. I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. I could see the man coming down the stairs as quickly as possible towards me. I could see his face now and he looked angry. I was so terrified, and then all of a sudden, I felt someone behind me lifting me out the window. It was Mike. Mike dragged me out the window, and that's when my body kicked into action. We all charged towards our car as fast as we possibly could. Our hearts beating so fast we couldn't even hear what we were saying. We got in the car, and I drove off as quickly as possible, my hand shaking as I was turning the keys. As we were driving off, we could see the man leaving the house, throwing his arms in the air and punching the ground, as if he'd lost us. As if we were something that he needed that he didn't get. Now we drove back to my house, and we were all terrified. One of my friends suggested to call the police, but what were the police gonna do? Technically, we were trespassing, as well as whoever was in the house. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know who that man was, what he wanted, but the whole situation terrified me. It made me realize that despite me wanting to overcome my fears, there are some fears that you don't need to overcome. You didn't need to go into that old abandoned house. You didn't need to put yourself in danger like that. Not just physical danger from this random man who seemed to be so angry at us for no reason, but the danger of treading on a rusty nail or cutting yourself on some old glass. It was just stupid. Now, we got back to my house and we're all pretty shaken up. We all vowed never to go back there again. But part of us does want to go back in the morning, just to see if anyone's there. We decided not to, but I'm still kind of curious. Later that day, my friend had to head back to town, so we never actually got to go back. I'm actually still considering going and having a look, but I'd bring someone with me. Never know what you guys think, but I have no idea what this person would have wanted. I think it was a really stupid thing to do, but my advice to anyone out there is don't go and explore old abandoned buildings. There's so much risk involved and very little to no reward. Anyway, thanks for listening to this story. This story happened when I was about 35 years old, and I was definitely old enough to know better. Now, I live in a town that is completely landlocked, but I've always had a passion for the sea. I absolutely love the sea and anything to do with the water. I've signed up to a local gym that's quite expensive, just because I want to swim. Even if it's just in a pool, I just love being in the water. It makes me feel so free. However, unfortunately, due to living in this landlocked town, I don't get out to the seaside as much as I'd like to. So, normally once every couple of summers, me and a group of friends and family all rent out a villa on the coast. This villa is beautiful, it's secluded, and the perfect place just to chill out and relax with your friends. Normally, we have loads of barbecues and we buy a ton of food. Everyone chips in so it's not too expensive. And we go swim in the sea and surf, and all around it's just a great time. Anyway, this one day we were at the villa. It was during our summer break, and I was swimming in the sea for about an hour. Now, not too far out that no one could see me, but far enough out that my feet couldn't touch the ground. There was one other friend out with me too, but he was getting tired, so he said he was going to head back to shore and ask me to come with him. I said no, I was going to stay out for a little bit longer, to which he said to just stay inside, and I agreed. Anyway, after about 15 minutes of swimming, I decided that I'd like to come back. So I paddled my little surfboard back to the edge of the shoreline, and I got out and just went and hung out with my friends for a while. We started playing cards, and me and a couple of my friends got into poker. The game got a little bit heated, and there was a couple of arguments, but it was definitely the point where we needed to stop the game for a while. We stopped the game for a while and just had a couple of beers and spoke for a bit. The guys said they were getting tired, so they headed back to bed. I said that I was going to come back in a minute. I just wanted to grab something. Now, I went to go grab my shoes when I had the sudden but stupid thought to go for one last quick swim. It was almost our last day at the villa, and I knew that I wasn't going to be at the sea for at least another year. Screw it, I thought. One more quick swim won't hurt. So, I jumped in the sea and I started swimming out. Now, I probably got 15 or 20 meters out, definitely far enough out that your feet can't touch the ground. However, it was quickly getting darker, and more than likely no one could see me from this far out. All of a sudden, I realized that I'm alone in the middle of the sea, and no one knew where I was. That realization made me realize how stupid it was to come out here on my own, this far out, when no one could see me, or probably even hear me because of the wind. So I decided to swim back. However, as I started swimming, I wouldn't move. I was caught in a current. At this point, I started to panic, and I decided to swim as hard as I possibly could to get back to the shore. However, no matter how hard I swam, I wouldn't move. The wind was picking up now, and the sea was a lot more choppy than when I was last in it. I didn't really notice when I swam out, but now I was out here. It was much different to the half an hour or so before when I was in here. It's crazy how much the sea can change in just a matter of minutes. I started feeling weaker and weaker, and I started shouting out for help. I was treading water for what was probably about a minute, but no one came out. I could feel my legs getting heavy, and I could feel my arms starting to ache. This is where I realized I'm in big trouble and I need to conserve my energy. I didn't know what to do, and no matter how hard I tried, I could not get myself to the shore. At this point, I decided I need to make a plan. My legs were starting to feel really heavy, and I felt like I could go under within the next minute or two. Now, I'm a strong swimmer, but swimming all day and being stuck in this current, not being able to move, and exerting so much energy had completely drained me. I was no longer breathing normally, and I was breathing heavily in and out of my mouth. You know that breathing you do after you've just gone for a long run or you've sprinted somewhere? It was kind of like that. I was panicking and I didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, I saw my friend come out looking for me. He must have realized I wasn't there. I was waving my arms, but it didn't appear like he saw me. He went back inside. I could see the faint silhouette of someone moving around, almost as if they were looking for me. But to no avail. I decided to give it one more big push, so I braced myself and kicked my legs as hard as I possibly could, and I broke free. With the remainder of my energy, I swam slowly to the shore. I got to the point where I could feel the sand underneath my feet, and I stumbled forwards and collapsed on the sand, at which point someone else came out and saw me collapse on the ground. They ran up to me and grabbed me and helped me up. But I just kept collapsing back to the ground. I was physically and emotionally exhausted from what happened. They called out a couple of my friends and everyone come running out. Once I caught my breath, I explained to them what happened. They told me how angry they was at me for not telling them that I was going out one more time and that I could have died out there. I knew how stupid it was and, to be honest, I will never do that again in my life. I have a newfound respect for the sea. I always knew how powerful it was and how quickly it could change, but the sea can be a cruel mistress, and you're never really as safe as you think you are. If you ever plan on going for a swim in the sea, always tell someone you're going. Always make someone aware of where you are, because if it wasn't for pure luck, I would have been dead right now. I don't think I had more than a minute of swimming left in me, and I was physically exhausted by the time I got back to the shore. It kind of put me off swimming for a little while, and I didn't go for a few months. I definitely will go swimming again in the sea, but I'm only ever going to go in the daytime with my friends, and when it's not too choppy. There's something about this kind of experience that changes you slightly as a person. Something that, when you feel like you were so close to death, and you've just about escaped, you can't not learn from that, right? So that's my story. I know it's not as scary as some of the others that you hear on here, but this is my story. It happened to me, and I want other people to learn from it. This happened probably 15 years ago now, and I still have absolutely no explanation as to why it happened. So, I live in a really big city, and I'm an extrovert, which is perfect for me. I love going out and mingling with people. Despite living in a big city, it really has a nice community feel where I live, and this is what I've always craved my entire life. I work from home, so I get a little bit lonely, so being an extrovert, I go outside and mingle with people all around. I do this every day, and it's one of those things where everyone knows me and I know them. So, why what happened only happened to me, I don't know. So, one day, I just come back in after going out for a short break and chatting with some of the locals around the neighbourhood, and I sit down in my chair to finish the rest of my work. It's the time of day where it's dark, but not really dark. It's that level of brightness where, if you're going to read a book, you need to turn a light switch on. All of a sudden, I can see this light flashing through my window against my wall. It's flashing through in a really rhythmic pattern, and I can't really figure out what it means or what is happening. I thought maybe there was some sort of police car outside, but I look outside and I don't see any police cars. Now there's a row of bushes about 20 foot away from where I live, and from inside those bushes I could see someone vaguely in the distance flashing a torch through my window in a rhythmic pattern. I don't know what it meant or why they were doing it. Maybe it was Morse code. I don't know. I bang on the window and then I run outside and go shout at them and ask them what they're doing. But by this point they were gone. It kind of confused me. Why was someone flashing a light through my window in a slow, controlled manner? Did it mean anything? Were they trying to get a message to me? I don't know. My brain was running wild and I was completely confused. Anyway, nothing happens for around 3 weeks. One day, when I'm doing my work again from home, I hear some posts come through the postbox. Obviously, this isn't uncommon, but when I go to get up and see what was there, nothing's been delivered. I was certain I could hear someone putting something through my postbox, as if they were fiddling around trying to push something through. But when I get there, nothing's there. I open my door and look around and nothing. No one. No sight of anyone. This is where I'm starting to get creeped out. Is someone playing a game with me? Why have I had 2 weird experiences in the space of 3 weeks? I go and speak to my neighbours about it and they say that they'll keep a lookout, but they've had nothing happen to them. This is where I'm getting a little bit concerned. I make sure that I keep all my doors locked at night, and I actually put a baseball bat under my bed just in case anything happens. Now, call me paranoid, but why is this happening to me and nobody else? What do they want from me? Is it someone playing a prank on me? Have I got a stalker? What's going on? Anyway, another 3 or 4 weeks passes, and I can hear the postbox rattling again. I walk up, and I can see someone putting their hand through the postbox, but nothing coming through. I quickly run up to the door again, open it, and what I see this time is someone running down the road away from my house. This is when I realise that something's definitely off. I call the police and tell them what happened, but there's nothing they can really do about it. There's no cameras nearby, so they tell me that if anything happens again, to give them a call back. This irritates me, but I decide that the best thing to do is to make sure my house is as safe as possible and to let my neighbours know again what's been happening. Again, the neighbours say that nothing's happened with them, but they're going to keep an eye out and look out for anyone who seems suspicious near my house. Another 2 or 3 weeks pass, and at this point I can hear something coming from my postbox. This time I'm ready. I run up to the door, but as I do, I realise that a letter has just come through the postbox, so I decide not to swing the door open and startle the postman. I pick up the letter and open it, and that's when I realise it's not a normal letter. It's on a A4 sheet of paper, and all that's written in large letters is "Hi" and a smiley face underneath. And that's when I realise that someone is definitely playing a game with me. At this point, I'm ready for this person. I want to find out who it is, so I stay up all night. Because I work from home, I can do my work whenever I want to. I decide that I'm going to stay vigilant and put my work desk right next to my window. However, when I do this, nothing seems to happen for a good 3 or 4 months. I decide that maybe the person just gave up and they were playing a prank on me. In the end, I give up and put my table and desk back to where it was before. I assume that the person was giving up playing pranks on me and that they got bored or something. So everything's normal for the next 2 years. That's when all of a sudden I get a letter come through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," in the same handwriting as before. This is when I realise that things are going to start happening again. To be honest with you, I'd saved up enough money at this point to where I could just move out. And that's what I decided to do. I put my house up on the market and I move out. This is around, like I say, 15-20 years ago now. I moved away and nothing ever has happened since. I hope this person hasn't tracked me and found out where I live now, but it's been 20 years, so I'm assuming that everything's fine. I don't know what happened to the house after I left. I was so scared. I did tell the police again, but again, there's nothing they could do. As far as I know, nothing's happened with the neighbours in that area. I keep in contact with a few of them, and sometimes we talk about it, but nothing's happened since. So whether I had a stalker, or what, I don't know. I don't know what this person wanted. I don't know if they were going to try and rob me, if they just wanted to mess with me. But why put a letter through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," 2 years after the initial letter? I don't get it. I don't get people in general, and I don't know what this person wanted with me. But I'm happy to say that I'm safe and happy where I live now, and nothing's ever happened to me since. And hopefully, this person has no clue where I am. I live in an area in England that is particularly beautiful. There's green and pleasant lands all around, and lots of country parks, which I'll get to in a moment. Me and my wife are getting to, but we're not at retirement age just yet. My knees are pretty busted up from lots of hard work throughout my working life, and years of sports before that, so I can't really go on the paths I want to go on. There's a local village, and a school, and my family are nearby, so we're pretty well situated. Anyway, almost every day, me and my wife try and get up and walk our dogs around these country parks. Now, there's one of them which is my favourite, but I can't really use. There's lots of hills and lots of areas that are a little bit slippery for me. I really want to be able to ride a bike up and down these hills, but I just can't manage it at the moment. So we normally avoid that one. There's another one that has a beautiful lake that runs alongside the path, which is better in the summer. And there's another one that's most nearby, that is pretty flat, and it's almost like a gravel path that runs for a few miles and leads back to a general car park. So that's the one we normally take. Normally, I get the dogs in the car. We have two dogs, one called Stacy and one called Happy. I know Happy's a funny name, but our granddaughter named it. Anyway, so we take the dogs, we get them in the car, and we walk along these trails. Normally, everything's fine, but this one time, our dog, Happy, was acting a little bit strange. She was acting as though she was getting spooked by things, which she doesn't normally. So we kept walking and just found it a little bit odd. That's when we noticed a group of young guys walking behind us, all with their hoods up. Now, I'm not particularly worried about this. They appear just to be walking around, and who knows, they could just be a group of friends that are walking around the path too and enjoying the day. But after another half an hour of walking around, I start getting suspicious. Every single turn we make, they make too. There's various different routes you can take along this path, and they all lead back to the same place, but take various different routes to get there. The chance of someone following you on this route is pretty slim, but they follow us through every single narrow winding path, and at one point they start to get a little bit closer. Now, I'm getting kind of freaked out, and the dogs are spooked out too. My wife says sometimes dogs have a kind of sixth sense, and they can tell when something's not right. Maybe this is the case, because I turn around and I say to my wife I'm going to go speak to the guys. As I start walking towards them, they disperse and walk away into the wooded areas. Now, with my knees being bad, I can't be walking over all the broken logs and slippery leaves that are on the floor, so I just throw my hands up in the air and walk back. I say to my wife that we should head back to the car, and we decide to do that. So we slowly put the dogs on their leads and walk back to the car. As we're maybe 200 meters from the car park, these guys appear even closer to us this time. That's when they realize that we're probably going back to our car, and they start walking even faster towards us. They're probably only 20 feet behind us still, but they're really making ground on us, and with my knees aching, I can't walk much faster. I tell my wife to take the dogs and get in the car, to which she does. She jogs towards the car and puts the dogs in, but as soon as they see her jog, they start light jogging too. This is when I get really freaked out. I'm not sure whether I should turn around and confront these guys, or head back to the car. I decide the best thing to do is keep walking at a normal pace, which I do. I get back to my car and my wife has put the dogs in and is sitting in the driver's seat of the car. As I'm about to open my door, the guy starts to sprint towards my car. That's when I get in my car quickly, shut and lock the doors, and tell my wife to drive. We speed off in a hurry and out the gate, just as the guys reach our car. I look back in the mirror, and I can see the guys shouting at each other and pointing at each other, clearly annoyed that we'd got away. I don't really know what these guys wanted with us, and I don't know what their plans were, but I'm glad that me and my wife got away. Now, this experience isn't going to deter us from going back to these country parks again, but we're definitely going to have to stay more vigilant. This happened to me probably 8 years ago now. and I'm 20 years old now. I live in a small town. It's not necessarily in the middle of nowhere, but it's fairly remote. I'm outside of a big city, so people still pass through. I've worked the same dead-end job that I've been in since I was 16 or 17 years old. Most of my friends have moved out of town now, so I'm a bit of a loner. We still keep in touch, but you know, it's not the same when you can't see people in person. The shop that I work in is really close to this huge shopping mall. The shopping mall is inside of a quarry looking thing. If you've seen one before, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like there's massive steep hills all around and there's a shopping mall in the middle of it. It's kind of confusing to describe, but if you've seen one, you'll know. So, I work in a shop that's probably only a 15 minute walk from this shopping mall. Every single day after work, I get off probably around 5 o'clock, sometimes 7 depending on when I start, and I just go for a mooch around the shopping mall. I find there's something so relaxing about just putting your headphones in and going and buying a drink or something to eat and just looking around at clothes that you can't afford or things that you want to buy in the future. Just having a casual stroll by yourself, minding your own business and enjoying your own company. It's something that I've done since I worked in this job, and to be honest, it never gets old for me. My job can be fairly stressful sometimes. It's not necessarily the people that work there. I actually get on quite well with a lot of them, but they're not really my friends. It's the customers that are really causing me problems. They're just so rude to me sometimes, and it really gets me down. So this one day, I especially wanted just to get out, put my headphones on, and just go about my routine, and just try and decompress a little bit. Well, anyway, one day, I was walking out of work, and typically, you have to turn right and walk around these winding paths that lead to the shopping mall. It probably takes around 15 minutes, and it's on a gradual decline all the way down to the shopping mall. That's where the bus stops are too to get out. It's probably a 15 minute drive to get back to my house, and on the bus it probably takes 25 minutes. It's not too far away, and the buses run until about midnight, so I haven't got too much problem with getting home. However, I know of this other way to get down to the shopping mall. Now, this is a particularly lazy way to go about it, but it's something that me and my buddies discovered way back in the day. It probably cuts 10 minutes off the route. If you cross over the road, there's a line of shrubbery and bushes that winds all the way down the path. Now, you would think that behind these bushes is just a gate or something to stop people from falling down the hill. But no, if you push past all these bushes, there's actually a little level of a dirt road that winds all the way down. Now, I say a road, it's kind of more of a muddy track that has loads of empty cans and pieces of burnt wood and rocks and stones all around. Probably only around 6 foot in length, and then it drops down into the area that leads to the shopping mall. It's a fairly steep drop, but as long as you're careful, you can sort of scoot your way down it and get to the shops so much quicker. Now, this is something we discovered way back when we were young, and it's one of those things that kids seem to know about, but adults haven't got a clue. You know, it's one of those ones. So I decided that this is the route I'm going to take. Now, like I say, I finished work at either 5 or 7, and on this day, it was 7 o'clock, and it was dark outside. Probably not the best time to be doing this, but I've never had any problems before, so why not? So I sort of barged my way through these bushes, scraping myself a little bit, but I'm fine. That's when I get onto the little path. Now, normally no one's there, but as soon as I jump down, 4 or 5 people turn around and look at me. They've all got their hoods up and things covering their faces, so I can't see who they are. I'm a little bit of a nervous person in general, so this shocks me and I don't know what to say. I go to turn around and go back up the path, but one of them grabs me and tells me not to go. This is the point where I'm really scared. They tell me to empty my pockets, to which I do. They take my phone off me and my wallet, and to be honest, I'm pretty shaken at this point. I don't know what to do. And that's when someone else says, "Take his watch too." Now, this watch is massively sentimental to me. It's something that was given to me by my father before he passed away. So to me, this is not something I really want to give up. I started pleading with them not to take it, at which point I can see one of them reach into their pocket and another two reach into their coats. They start shouting things at me, but I think I'm having an anxiety attack because the words aren't making sense to me. I'm just slowly trying to backtrack whilst they're hurling abuse at me and shouting instructions to me. But I'm frozen. I don't know what to do, and I'm so scared. This is when fight or flight kicks in. It's either try and take on all these guys, or jump down this steep hill that leads to the shops. Without even thinking, I run and I jump down this hill that leads to the shops. I start rolling and tumbling and barrel rolling down this hill. I make it to the bottom, but I'm badly hurt. My leg felt broken and I couldn't move my ankle. I had a cut on the top of my head too that was bleeding quite a lot. Thankfully, someone saw me jump down and they came to help me quickly. I got taken into a little medical room that was in the back of one of the shops. They called the police for me, but there was nothing the police could do. I didn't see any of their faces, and they'd run away with my stuff by now. I still had my watch on me, although the face of the watch did crack a little bit as I jumped and barrel rolled down the hill. Thankfully, I made it out safely, and to be honest with you, I'm scared to ever go back to that spot. I'll never be taking that shortcut again. I'm happy that I didn't end up getting harmed, and maybe I should have just given my watch up, but it had so much sentimental value to me, and combined with the anxiety attack and the general just surprise of what happened, I didn't know what to do in that situation. I'm not saying I made the right choice, but luckily I made it out okay.